Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey guys, wow, I'm so happy to be sharing this Sunday after a great series of conversations. And man, I just want to let you know, I miss all of you guys so much. I can't wait till we are together again. But man, last week was so encouraging. Pastor Ed had a very encouraging message for us as the church, that we continue to be the church. We may be physically distant, but we're not socially or spiritually distant. So we need to stay connected. And that's why we have things going on like midweek discipleship. A new life group semester will start soon. And even we have a lobby after the service, and we have trivia and prizes, many ways to keep you connected, because we don't need to be socially or spiritually distanced, but physical distance only. I'm excited about us being the church in this time. I want to talk to you just a moment about something that maybe you'll remember from school. Maybe you remember doing greater than or less than. Or in Bahasa, it would be lebih besar dari or lebih kecil dari. I used to love that in math. I mean, was there anything easier? We would have problems such as 10 is blank 5. It's greater than, right? Lebih besar dari. Or 5 is blank 8. Lebih kecil dari. I loved it. So easy in math, so easy with numbers. But this whole idea or this whole concept is much more difficult in life when we're facing things other than numbers, choosing which career to pursue, which one is greater, which one is less than, choosing what college to attend, or choosing which girl to choose. Is this girl greater than this girl, or is this guy greater than this guy? I'm thankful every day that I ended up with the girl that is greater than. So all the husbands right there, wherever you are, shout amen right where you're sitting. I mean, I just set that up for you to spike it yourself. Us guys have to stick together, right? But we have these decisions. We face so many decisions every day. And a lot of these decisions come down to which one is greater than. I just heard recently that we make, it's averaged 35,000 decisions per day. How many of your brain feels tired? You're making 35,000 decisions a day, and a lot of those, very many of those, are just deciding which thing is greater in my life. My job is blank, my wife. My kids are blank, my husband. My sleep is blank, my time with God. My money is blank, integrity. Netflix is blank, my Bible. You know, all of those are less than, obviously, or lebih kecil dari. But we have decisions all the time, and we have to choose the right decision for the results we want in our life. Long-term results are greater than short-term decisions or short-term feelings. We look for the long-term results. We need to make decisions to get the results in our life that we want. We want success. Success in our marriages, success in our families, success in our careers and our finances. We want success, most of all, in our relationship with God. So we have to plan and prioritize. We have to make the right decisions to reach the place that we want to reach in life. Make the right decisions to get the result that we want. We have to decide what is greater than and what is less than constantly. Short-term discomfort is less than long-term success. Short-term pain is less than long-term gain. Short-term struggle is less than long-term strength. You know, there's things we face in the short term, but it builds a greater result. And we can look at, wow, the end result is greater than what I went through to get there. So as disciples, we can know this. Discipline creates disciples. And as we seek to be disciples of Jesus, and we seek to be followers of Jesus, and we seek to be more like Jesus, discipline helps get us there. The things we learn in this life and discipline ourselves and set up priorities, we live according to what is greater than, no matter what the situation, no matter what it feels like. We constantly live according to what is greater than, no matter the moment or what we're feeling. Why? Because My wants are less than God's will, or God's will is greater than my wants. Can we say that? My dreams, my hopes, my desires, my wants are less than God's will. Jesus said it when he was praying. When he was going to face the cross, he was going to face everything that he was going to go through so that we could have freedom, so that we could have salvation. When he knew that he was about to suffer and be tortured, his human part was just like ours. And he prayed in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was saying, "God, I don't want to do this, but if this is your will, I'll do it." He was saying, "Your will is greater than my will." John the Baptist gives us a key to this. When he was talking about going to follow Jesus, when he was talking about following the Savior, following the Messiah, he gave us the key to how to be a true follower of Jesus. When he said in John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must become greater, I must become less." And that is the statement of a true follower of Jesus. When you are really following Jesus and you really want to be on this path, you have to come to the decision, "He is greater than me. He is greater than me. His ways are greater than my ways. His plans are greater than my plans." So this is the setup for you. And this is the key to success in life, is accepting what is greater than and what is less than. Now, I was thinking about mountains. I love the mountains. How many of you out there, we've probably asked this question before. How many of you love mountain vacations? How many of you love beach vacations? I personally, I love the mountains. My wife loves the beach. So our vacation choice is easy. It's the beach. Why? Because all of us know that a vacation with an unhappy wife is no vacation at all, right? But sometimes we've been to the mountains, and I love the mountains in the U.S., especially when I've been in the wintertime, and maybe there's snow on the ground, and it's cold, and it's comfortable. You know, beach is better here because it's like year-round endless summer in Indonesia. But when you go to the mountains and it's cold, I just love it. For me, that's the nicest. We would go to a place in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, snow on the ground, peace, and it's solitary. Go into a cabin in the woods on a mountain, for me, is like a little bit of heaven on earth. A bit of peace and quiet and solitude. The mountains in the winter. Man, it's so nice to get away. Black bear are there, one of my favorite animals. One of my favorite animals from a distance. But I love seeing the black bear, and you can see deer. And my kind of camping includes a hot tub and a pool table and a PlayStation. I didn't say I'm a survivalist, but I love going to the mountains. But I had one bad mountain experience that almost changed everything for me. I went to a mountain cabin with one of my bros years ago, really good friend of mine. He was going to this area for business. And he said, "Chris, why don't you come with me? If you could take a few days, come with me. Let's go to the mountains. We'll get a cabin. I can drive down to the town during the day and have my business meetings." So I'm like, man, a trip to the mountains, stay in the cabins. It's wintertime. I'm in. Let's do it. So we left that afternoon. We drove about 5 or 6 hours to get to the mountains. By the time we got there, it is dark outside. And I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but a cabin in the woods at night, it's just a different experience. And it was a little bit scary out there. My friend had brought some movies that we could watch in the cabin. And one of them is The Others from 2001 with Nicole Kidman. And it's a horror movie. Guys, I don't like horror movies at all. I do not like horror movies. And especially not in a cabin in the woods on a mountain at night. It's just such a different experience. And my friend wasn't afraid at all. How annoying is that? Don't you hate it when you're scared and your friend is not scared at all? Then you have to pretend like you're not scared. You know, like, "Hey, dude, it's a little bit scary out here, isn't it?" "No, I'm not scared at all." "Yeah, me either. I was just kidding." And then we go in and he pulls out the horror movie. We're about to watch this, and I have to pretend like, yeah, that's not scary. I love horror movies. It, It makes me feel alive. I love it. So he pops the others in, and we're watching this movie. And for me, you know, for any of you that maybe watch those kind of movies, it may not even be scary. But for me, I was terrified. And we're sitting in the living room of the cabin, and it's dark, and it's so, so scary, guys. And I didn't want him to know I was afraid, so I'm just watching the movie and trying not to jump out of my seat. So try to pretend like, yeah, that didn't bother me. And about halfway through the movie, I look over at the sofa, and my friend was asleep. I mean, talk about worst friend ever, asleep. It's like midnight, 1 a.m., something like that, in a cabin, in the woods, on a mountain, in the dark. Scariest night I've ever had on a mountain. And in reality, I had nothing to be afraid of. There wasn't anything real there, but in that moment, if you've ever been there when you're afraid of something, reality doesn't even matter. I mean, the fear becomes greater than our logic. The fear becomes greater than our grasp on reality. The Bible talks about fear of mountains, and not in this idea that a mountain can hurt you or anything like that, but more of an idea when the Bible uses it as something big that's standing in your path, something big that is blocking your way, keeping you from where you're supposed to be, keeping you from where you're supposed to be going, keeping you from your destiny and your purpose and the things God has promised you. And very often there is something big standing there, and it causes worry and stress and fear, and the fear can become greater than our faith. The fear of the mountain can become greater than our faith in our God. And this scary night on a mountain, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't even move from where I was sitting. I was paralyzed by panic. I was frozen by fear. I was arrested by anxiety, wrapped up by worry. I mean, I couldn't get out of the seat. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because some of you are living in that right now. Some of you are facing those same feelings. It feels like we're in a season full of mountains. It may feel like in your life right now, everywhere you look, there's a mountain everywhere around you. Wow, I can't get past this, and I can't get past that. You may feel like it's just a season full of mountains. You may be joining us today, and you would say, Pastor Chris, I know that scared, paralyzed, no sleep, full of worry and anxiety feeling, because that's been my feeling during this season. That's what I'm facing right now, dark and lonely and afraid to even let your friends know what's going on. You try to pretend you're not afraid, but you feel paralyzed, especially at night when you try to lay your head down to sleep and you think about this mountain. And you just keep talking to yourself about this mountain and how big the mountain is. Here you are, and there the mountain is, and you try and try and try, but you just can't get around this mountain. You're allowing it to rob you of your rest. You're allowing it to steal your peace. You're allowing it to hijack your joy. But you're not far from the light. As I sat there that night, and I thought back on this story, I sat there terrified in the dark, and the light was not that far away from me. I had access to light, but I allowed my fear to control me. The light switch was only a few feet away. I could have gotten up and turned on the light. It wasn't that far out of reach. So let me give you some encouragement today. You are not that far from the light. Access to the light is within reach. You don't have to fear that mountain. The mountains melt. This is from Micah chapter 1, verse 4. Let me just share you a few things that the Bible says about God and the mountains. The mountains melt beneath him. Could you imagine how powerful our God is? The mountains melt beneath him. The mountains quake before him. That's from Nahum chapter 1, verse 5. What I'm trying to encourage you in is that we serve the God who is greater than the mountain. Whatever mountain you face, whatever mountain that is in front of you, the disciples, in one story in the Bible, they were talking to Jesus about something he had done. And in Mark chapter 11, he tells them, starting in verse 22, he says, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I mean, for anyone facing a mountain, that passage of scripture is life. Jesus is telling us, hey, things don't have to be like this. You don't have to be afraid of the mountain. How about this? You don't have to be moved by your mountains. You can move the mountains. Too many times we are allowing ourselves to be moved. The mountain is causing us to stay away from our destiny. The mountain is keeping us from where we're supposed to be going, and the mountain keeps moving you. But the scripture says that if we have faith in God, we can move the mountain. So even in this season, full of mountains for many of us are facing big problems. Maybe you're facing a difficult situation at home, in a relationship, financially, with your business, whatever things you're facing, Jesus is speaking to you today, telling you, it doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to tremble when you see the mountain, when you serve the God who makes the mountain tremble. We don't have to be afraid. What we have to do is change the equation. My God is greater than my mountain. My God is greater than my mountain. Let me just leave you with a few points to help you with that. Number one, let your faith be greater than your fear. In verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. You have to let your faith be greater than your fear, not your fear greater than your faith, but your faith greater than your fear. In order to move mountains, Jesus said, have faith in God. The faith is the issue. Many times your mountain is not really your mountain. As confusing as that sounds, it's not the mountain usually, it's your faith or lack of faith actually. It's a lack of faith in God. It's the doubt. It's this feeling that you have more faith in how big your mountain is than how big your God is. In Matthew chapter 17, there's a story of a boy who was demon possessed. And Jesus's disciples were there and they try to cast the demon out of the boy. And how embarrassing. It didn't happen. And when Jesus showed up, the people were there saying, Jesus, this boy is suffering. He's demon possessed. We asked your disciples to cast the demon out and they couldn't do it. I mean, I could imagine if you're standing there and you're the disciples, you would be like, hey, shh, you don't have to say it in front of Jesus. You don't have to tell him. Don't talk about it. But they were there. They knew Jesus. They were the followers of Jesus, and here's a boy possessed with a demon, and they try to cast the demon out, and the demon did not go. The demon wasn't the disciples' problem. It was their lack of faith. And in verse 19, it says, afterwards, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Because you have so little faith, he answered. I mean, imagine this story that the demon wasn't the mountain. The demon wasn't the big problem. The demon wasn't what was holding the disciples back. Their mountain was a lack of faith. Your problem may not be your mountain at all. Your problem may just be that you don't believe your God is greater than your mountain. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Think about that with our God. Before the mountains were born, he was God. Before your business struggled, he was God. Before your finances got tight, he was God. Before your relationship broke down, he was God. Before your child faced that problem, he was God. From everlasting to everlasting, whatever you are facing, whatever your mountain is, before the mountain was born, our God was God. So you could tell me whatever your mountain is, and I will tell you that our God was God before that mountain ever existed. Our God is God, everlasting to everlasting. Before your problem existed, he was God, and he still is. And I'm telling you today to have faith, not doubt. If you'll begin to see your God is greater than your mountain will move. If you change the equation and begin to see your God as greater than your mountain, have faith in God. Your mountain will move. right now, wherever you are, what I'm asking you to do is to start speaking to your mountain. Whatever that mountain is, say, I'm not afraid of you anymore. I'm not afraid of you, mountain, because my God is greater than you. Whatever your problem is right now, speak to it wherever you are. I'm not afraid of you anymore because my God is greater than the mountain. The second thing, when you're doing this, the point is to speak to that mountain. Speak to your mountain. And no, I'm not crazy. Jesus said, do it. He said, hey, tell the mountain. Verse 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain. So when we have faith in God, we can speak to the mountain. Our faith is in that God is greater. So when we speak to the mountain, that's what we're speaking. If you speak what you believe, something is going to move. If you speak what you believe, something is going to move. Sometimes it's the mountain moving out of your way. Sometimes it's you rising above that mountain. Our problem is that we speak more about how big the mountain is than we speak about how big our God is. I mean, how many of you have spent the last weeks and months talking about how great the mountain is, how big my troubles are, how big this situation is, and we speak so much faith in how big the mountain is. My marriage is done. My business is finished. My son is lost. My family is broken. If you speak what you believe, something is going to move. When you speak fear to your mountain grows, but when you speak faith to your mountain goes. That's how this works. Are you speaking faith to the mountain? The final points, just to wrap up quickly. Number three, do not doubt, walk it out. At verse 23, Jesus is basically saying, pray it, believe it, have faith in God, and start living as if it has happened. Start living it. I mean, if I had gotten up, even while I was still afraid, and went and turned the light switch on, everything would have changed for me. What I'm telling you is right where you are while you're still afraid, while you're still worried, while that mountain is still there, if you will stand up in faith and speak to the mountain and say, I have access to the light. I have access to Jesus. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm a child of God. And the darkness will be gone. I think about that old Casting Crowns song that says, I will praise you in the storm. That even in the midst of it, we still praise him. Why? Because we have faith. Last week, Pastor Ed reminded us that the kingdom of God is alive in us. So my encouragement would be live that way. Live that way. And number four, forgive the one you haven't forgiven. Jesus was very clear. Here's the things to do. Here's what you need to do. And he says in verse 25, and when you pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. Maybe you've been speaking to the mountain and you're wondering, Pastor Chris, I don't know why the mountain won't move. I don't know why I'm still stuck. I keep trying and trying. The mountain won't get out of my way. Let me tell you right now, evaluate your life and ask yourself, who is the one I have not forgiven yet? Jesus said, when you pray, if you are holding anything against anyone, forgive them. And he goes on to say, and this is our final point, so that you can be forgiven. Receive forgiveness. Be free. Jesus wants you to be free. You can be free. You have access to the light, and it's not that far away. We don't have to be held back by mountains. We don't have to be in fear. We are made to walk in faith. To walk in faith. If you're facing a mountain right now, whatever it is, I'm speaking faith to your mountain right now. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Can I pray for you right where you are before we go? Father, I'm so thankful for your word today. Lord, I believe that your word brings life to us. Lord, I know that you placed this word in my heart several weeks ago, and I've been so excited leading up to this. Even when we began the 21 days of prayer and fasting, we began with these scriptures, and it's intentional. It's on purpose that you bring us back to the scripture as we end this time of prayer and fasting. Lord, so it wouldn't just be an event that happened in our life for 21 days, but it would be something that changes us forever. Lord, that in this season, we no longer walk in fear and doubt, but we walk in faith. So wherever you are right now, I'm helping you to speak to that mountain. Your God is greater. Your fear needs to be moved and your faith needs to rise up. This doesn't have to be the year of destruction. This is a year of discipline. You're being made stronger and wiser and better equipped to be the person that God has created you to be. As Pastor Ed said last week, this is not a season of shaking. This is a season of awakening. Wake up, wipe your eyes, and look again at that mountain. Your God is greater. Your God is greater. For those of you who have not put your trust in Jesus yet, what are you waiting for? He will save you. He will rescue you. He will free you. He will give you a purpose. He loves you. So if you're facing any mountains right now in your life, if you're wondering, how can I begin this journey of freedom? Let me just tell you today, all you have to do is reach for that light that's so close to you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I have faith in God. I believe. I don't doubt. Jesus, save me. I love the prayer in Scripture. It's actually when someone's talking to Jesus and he's asking Jesus, can you accomplish this thing? And Jesus says, can I? And the man says, you know what? I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe right where you are. Even when you have faith, but there's that little bit of concern, that little bit of doubt there, Jesus says, hey, I see your faith and I will help your unbelief. Father, help those who are watching today. Lord, I speak freedom right now. Lord, I speak faith to those mountains that they would be moved. Lord, I speak faith to that fear that it would be moved. Lord, that our faith would rise up. Lord, that we would be empowered, that we would be better equipped. Lord, that this would truly be a season of awakening for your church. Lord, I believe this is the time where we can be more powerful than ever. Lord, I believe that you have a plan for the city of Maidon. I believe you have a purpose for IC Maidon being here in this time and this season. Lord, I believe that you have a plan and a purpose and a beautiful future for everyone that you have called together to this church, Lord, so that you can send us out just as we are scattered right now to be your church in every corner of this city. Lord, to take the light to those who are trembling in the darkness, to show them that if they will put their faith in Jesus, they no longer have to be afraid. And we believe it, Lord. Lord, I pray peace in every home today. Lord, I pray right now as fear and worry and doubt and stress and anxiety are being broken, Lord. All of those things are being broken because your people are being reminded and remembering today that our God is greater than the mountain. Our God is greater than the mountain. Jesus, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much that you are with us and you have never left us and you have called us to continue this work with you and for you. We receive from you and we live this life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, I was so excited that we could have this time. I hope you'll join the lobby after this, just a little bit of time to connect and see each other's faces. The fasting ends today. Man, I don't know about you, but this was a great time of just spending some time with Jesus and focused prayer together. I've loved the videos every day, and I just want to encourage you, continue these habits of prayer that you've started. Next week, we have a new series from the book of Jude. We're calling it Hey Jude, so be here for that. It is a survivor's guide, so it's going to teach us some things that we need in this life. Other than that, we also have midweek discipleship on Wednesday nights. You can sign up on the website, and we'd love to see you there. But that's all we have for today. I love you guys. God bless you, and I'll see you on Wednesday night.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.